The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُو هُو بِلِيهِ اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qist shuhada'a lillah. When you come and you want to bear witness, this might be in the particular context of a court. You may not have to deal with a court necessarily. A dispute, whatever the situation might be. He says, "Kunu qawwamina bil qist." When you come and you bear witness, don't allow the idea that this person is your father, your mother, your relative, your cousin, your uncle, your aunt, to sway the truth the way you saw it. "Kunu qawwamina bil qist shuhada'a lillah." You're bearing witness because of God. And then he says this, "Walaw ala anfusikum." Even if you're bearing witness against yourself, awil walidain, even against your parents, wal aqrabin, or your relatives, you have to be able to stick to the truth in these moments, and this is difficult. And it's very interesting that the Quran tells us the one who shows up on the day of judgment, and you know that the verses of the Quran categorizes the human beings on that day into two categories: those who are given their book of deeds on their right hand, those who are given their book of deeds to their left hand or behind their back. Yes? The Quran says, this person who shows up, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ذَهْرِهِ, the one who is given his book behind his back, through his left hand. Why did he end up in this position? This is what the Quran says. When they give him that book, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُ ثُبُورًا, he wishes that he was dead. Thubura, he wishes that he did not exist, because he knows what he has to deal with. وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا, and he's going to make his way towards hellfire. But here's the problem. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. When he was with his people and his family and his relatives, everyone was happy. Everyone supported his wrongdoings. Uncle, aunt, yeah, no problem. You're good. You're fine. Sometimes you've seen this. You're having a conversation with somebody. You criticize a particular characteristic about someone else. And it may not even necessarily be backbiting. It might be something that this person does publicly. You just don't agree with it. Then the person you're talking to turns to you and says, wait a second, but you know, imagine if this person is your relative. It turns to you and says, wait a second, but I do this too sometimes. What do you say? You say, no, you're fine. You're good. That one, him, he has problems. Why? Because he's not our relative. But if this person was doing the same thing, you'd criticize him. Because it's a relative, all of a sudden everything is fine. No. And here's the problem when it comes to us doing wrong things because of expectations that relatives have of us. Here's the problem. At the end of the day, when I show up on the day of judgment, and someone who has to answer for these deeds that I committed, these same relatives that I did these deeds for are nowhere to be found. They are worrying about their own issues. They're worrying about their own deeds. Wait a minute, I did all of this because of you. You said, come and do this haram, don't worry about it. You said, do this, I'm a relative of yours. I did it because of you. Now when I need your help, you're nowhere to be found. No, they're nowhere to be found. Friends that I do haram for, they're nowhere to be found. And the Quran puts this into perspective in Surah Al-Ma'arij. It says, يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ. When that moment comes where the heavens, they turn into boiling metal. So the terminology we don't necessarily understand, right? The Quran is just trying to give us a general idea of it, yes? وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ. And the mountains are like beaten cotton. Mountain is strong, it's firm. The Quran says we will take it, it will turn into beaten cotton. If you remember back home, they used to make pillows, for example, with cotton, and this cotton was beaten. He had specific tools to beat this cotton, to make it soft and fluffy and more comfortable for you. The Quran says, we'll take the mountains, they'll turn into what? Beaten cotton. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ. Okay, so all of this for what? What are you trying to get across? What's the main point? He says, this is the main point. وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. No close friend, no close relative is worried about another close friend or another close relative. No one cares. I thought I did all of this for you. He says, yeah, you did it for me. I don't have time for you right now. I have my own things to worry about. And you're stuck there, I'm stuck there with these things that I did because of this person. وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. And then you know what the interesting thing is the Quran says about this relationship that was based on sin. The relationships that are based on truth and based on faith, no, those relationships exist on that day. And you recognize people, and if this is a good person, you will have a good relationship with them. No, the relationships that were based on sin is what we're referring to. He says they don't even care about one another. But it's not that they don't see one another. They see one another on that day. But still, they don't even care enough to ask about one another. You know, sometimes you don't see a friend for a long time. You might joke with them. Say, well, it's been a minute since I've seen you. It's been a long time since I've seen you. And sometimes they'll come back to you with what? Yeah, I was traveling, I was out of town, for example. You know, we didn't run into each other, you know, that's why. The Quran says, no, يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. We will make sure to show them to one another. Their eyes will meet on that day. But you know what the problem is? يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. This guy sees what he has done, and he sees the punishment. He's willing to give away everything, including his children. Willing to give everything because he just doesn't want to deal with this punishment. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ. He's willing to give up his brother, just not have to deal with this punishment. وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ. And that tribe of his that used to support him. He's willing to give all of it. He doesn't have time for anybody. In other verses of the Quran, Surah Abbas says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةُ. When that final moment comes, and that loud, loud sound comes, yes, that critical moment comes, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. This person is running away from his relatives. And it goes on and it moves on. Why? It says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. They each have their own things to worry about. I thought you were going to be there for me. No, it turns out, this relative, this friend of mine who asked me, you know, you should do this, you should do that, you know, when time comes, you need their help, they're not there for you. You and I have to answer for the stuff that we did ourselves. So as much as Islam teaches us that we are to value our relatives, when it comes to haram, I have to hold back. And this is a fine line. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. But you find the prophets of Allah did it very beautifully. Because those who rejected them and those who were their enemies, many times they were their relatives. We talked about the prophet. You see this with the other prophets as well. When Musa alayhi salam went on this trip and he met Shu'aib and then he came back, you know what the first thing was that the Fir'aun of that time told him? The first thing. When he came, he said, I'm a messenger of God, so on and so forth. The first thing that the Fir'aun said, regardless of whether this Fir'aun was the same one who played the role of his father or was the son of that Fir'aun, there is dispute in history. Was it the same one or was it the son of that one? In other words, was this person the person who had played the role of a father for him or someone who had played the role of a brother for him? Either way, it's almost like his relative. What's the first thing that they told Musa when he came back? They said, Musa, wait a second. أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا. Didn't we raise you as one of our own? We're relatives. What is this? وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمْرَكَ سِنِينَ. You lived many years of your life with us. Now you're going against your own people? Musa was tested with this. And amongst those who was also tested with this was Ibrahim with his uncle Azar. But you find how beautifully Ibrahim managed this relationship. At the same time that he kept telling his uncle, Uncle, I care for you. I'm worried about you. At the same time, he said, I don't agree with your lifestyle. I don't agree with your approach. I cannot agree with this shirk. Narration says that Azar was a person who used to build idols, used to sell idols. Ibrahim is growing up in a household like this. And yet Ibrahim, he does it very beautifully. When you look at the verses of the Quran, he is very affectionate towards his uncle. Uncle, I want to guide you. Ya abati la ta'bud ash-shaytan. Ya abati inni akhafu, I'm worried about you. But at the same time, he says what? وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. When it comes to my values, I'm not going to compromise on my values. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ, I will separate my path from you.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.